Greetings, everyone. This is Koku from the Bitter Medicine Podcast, inviting you to tune in to the Bitter Medicine Podcast on KWAZ Radio.
Peace, family. This is Oni, inviting you to listen to the pro-black perspective, where black problems are addressed with black solutions.
Welcome to the fifth episode of our interview segment of the Harsh Reality Podcast. And in this segment, we look to bring on professionals, influencers, scholars, and any knowledgeable and interesting individuals to tell their own story and also hear their unique perspective on the news of the day. And I personally think it's more beneficial and insightful to the listener to hear a person's perspective rather than a traditional question and answer format. So it's going to be more of a casual conversation with me and my guests here. Firstly, I got to shout out the Melanated Conscious Society. MCS, headquartered in Jacksonville, Florida, is a mentorship organization teaching various life skills, self-sufficiency, and knowledge of self to our youth. Make sure y'all go follow them on Facebook and Instagram for the latest news, meetings, and valuable information. Also, shout out to our KWAZ radio family. KWAZ providing the latest and greatest of conscientious-oriented content. Make sure y'all follow them on all forms of social media, as well as subscribe to the Bitter Medicine Podcast, hosted by my brother Goku, and the Pro Black Perspective, hosted by Oni Tase. And lastly, the podcast is on Patreon, so please donate. And of course, all proceeds go to upgrading the show and providing the best content we can for our loyal listeners. And also for those who can be featured in our business spotlight, or just looking to reach out and drop a comment on the show or suggested topic or guest, y'all can email us at theharshrealitypodcast@gmail.com. Now, without further ado, let's get to our esteemed guests. And my guest today is the beautiful, vocal, and unflinching Rhonda Marie. She is, Rhonda Mary. Okay, I don't want to jack you up in the beginning. And she is an entrepreneur, YouTuber, and Second Amendment advocate, promoting firearm awareness, safety, training, and self-defense, among many other ventures. And I am grateful and highly honored she has taken on my invitation to come on the pod and discuss a few topics. Rhonda, what's going on with you?
Not much, man. Chilling. Thank you for having me on. What's good with you?
Nothing much. Just working, grinding, and trying to, you know, build this little platform up. But I appreciate you asking. So for those that may not have heard of you, which I'm pretty sure a lot of my listeners are, you know, pro-Second Amendment themselves and a lot of into, you know, self-defense and things like that. Why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself, you know, maybe some upbringing and what made you interested in Second Amendment, things like that.
Okay. So again, my name is Rhonda Mary. I'm a YouTuber and a Second Amendment advocate. And so, you know, I'm from Mississippi, grew up in a really traditional, you know, Southern home. And as far as my YouTube goes, I started that, basically with like social and political commentary. It was around a time that we were hearing a lot of this, you know, fake news coming from the previous administration. And I was like, if it's so fake, let me see what the truth is, right? And I started actually looking into things myself beyond what the media, you know, or your favorite news host was telling you on a nightly news. I would start diving into these concepts and what was going on myself, and I started to find very interesting things. And so I just started sharing that with people, and I was doing that for a couple of years. And during that journey, I was already learning more about the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. You know, I was learning more about American history, learning more about Black history. And so my interest had already kind of been piqued to becoming a firearms owner, but I never just gave it deep thought. And I ended up being in a situation which was a roll rage slash hit and run type of interaction that I was in. One morning I was headed to meet some friends for brunch, and I rate driver decided that even though I was going 70 miles over the 70 miles per hour in the fast lane, that wasn't quite fast enough for him. So he decided he would try to drive or push my car, I should say, off the highway. Oh, wow. And, you know, that situation escalated. At one point, he was right outside of my window and he was cursing and berating me. And I just kept thinking, you know, if something happens to me on the side of this road, like, who's going to tell my parents what happened? You know, it was a Sunday morning. My parents were at church and things like that. And so I was obviously, you know, fearful. And I called to make a police report, and the young lady that showed up just happened to look like me. She was a young Black woman. I was telling her about the situation. And she was like, "You didn't have your gun on you? You didn't have your firearm?" And I'm like, "No," thinking like, was I supposed to, you know? She was the first person that ever put that thought into my head, you know, in that way that like, you know, you can have some agency over your life. You are your own first responder. You can own a firearm as well. No, firearms are not just for, you know, white supremacists and school shooters and gangsters, like, you know, all the music and the TV and the news tries to tell us it is, but for just everyday peaceful, you know, non-threatening, non-aggressive, less aggressed upon people who just kind of want that, you know, kind of that security, knowing that if something does happen, if something does pop off, you know, maybe I have a chance here, you know. So after that incident with that man, I went and got my first firearm like 2 weeks later. And ever since, I've just been training. I've been learning more. I still consider myself a newbie. You know, I'm not some gun enthusiast. I'm more so with it where I just started falling into like the history of it, particularly as it relates to, you know, Black history and how a lot of it as it relates to the gun ownership and how that in a lot of ways actually went hand in hand with the civil rights movement has been hidden from us. So I've just been on a journey ever since.
That's dope. It's dope. And this happened in Mississippi, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I got to check you out. We might be cousins, low key, man. You know, I'm originally from Chicago. Oh, like if my family.
That's
not
what
Chicago,
they say. That's what they say.
They in Mississippi. I got people outside Jackson and also Shaw, Greenville, all them areas. So we might have to check the family tree. I'm gonna have to call Big Mama, see what's going on.
Real talk. they say the people in the Black people in Chicago just a Mississippi person with a coat. So
word up. But I think that's an inspirational story, man. And I think growing up in an urban environment, a lot of people have been taught to, you know, shy away from, you know, firearm safety and things like that, because it's always given a negative connotation, you know.
Right, exactly.
You know, Ray Shy Pookie over here is because these guns and all this other stuff. So, you know, I think that story itself shows, and I've seen videos, multiple videos of road rage incidents. They calling, you know, actually, you know, my child's mother, she had gotten to a road rage incident and he was yelling all types of calling N-word and bombs, dropping them on us. Like, man, I wish I was there to kick off that mirror. You know what I'm saying? But as a man, it kind of, you know, and I have, you know, daughters too. So it's like, I want to teach them to be able to protect themselves in case, you know, I can't always be around. I can't
myself
to the situation. So I think that's big and it's very telling. And I appreciate you sharing that story because that's something we all can relate to, because who ain't had some road rage incidents? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah. So hitting back on that too, you know, expanding on like the history of the Second Amendment itself and, you know, how suppression of it is kind of rooted in racism. I know the brother Maj Ture, we all familiar with, shout out to Maj. But, you know, one thing he preaches and lets you be known, and he's very adept at the history of the Second Amendment, how the only people who really weren't allowed to carry, you know, rifles or guns or firearms were, guess who? You know, Black and Native Americans.
Right, correct.
Yeah, so if you want to hit back, say, you know, touch on the history of the firearms and the suppression and why we should be totally against that. You know what I mean?
So the first gun control legislation ever created on American soil were against slaves owning firearms. You know, that's pretty obvious. They were called slave codes, okay? They didn't want the slaves getting any bright ideas that they could rebel against their slave masters. Well, eventually, after the Emancipation Proclamation that was supposedly slaves being free, this evolved into what were called Black codes, which were aligned with the Jim Crow era, right? So it's even though y'all free, you know, quote unquote free, we're still going to keep a subjugated class. We're still going to keep a second class citizenry. We still don't want y'all getting any bright ideas about not only protecting yourself, nor do we want you becoming the aggressor. So what we're going to do is we're going to continue to keep you disarmed by, in a lot of ways, maintaining a slave class. That is what that is, right? Even today, the legislation, the gun control legislation, has evolved over time. So when we talk about systemic racism, gun control is actually a perfect example of that, because we still have remnants of those laws on our books today that are mostly in areas where you have inner cities and where you have highest populations of Black people. So if we're going to talk about systemic racism, you absolutely cannot leave gun control out of the conversation.
I think a lot of people, and that hits home with me being from, you know, Chicago, which has some of the strictest gun laws on the books, right? Mm-hmm. Along with New York City. And guess what? Those places are surging in gun crimes, right? Gun related or, you know, crimes that are participate by, you know, firearms, right? People. And it's kind of ironic that the areas with the most lax gun laws, you know, it's none of that. Yeah, it's none of that foolishness, right? And hitting back on to what you're saying with the Black codes and everything. That hits back to every facet of society. People don't realize that loitering, you know, that whole thing of loitering, just hanging out on the corner, you know, stems from that type of stuff. And even today, you see remnants of that. You'll see a bunch of brothers, even at the job now, gathered at the water cooler, right? Bunch of brothers talking, and the supervisor walks up and it's, okay, you know, I'll catch you later. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So you can tell how that's
moving.
Break it up. Then you got to move on. And another thing, like I said, there's a lot of things that stem from there. A lot of laws, like you said, that's still on the book. You know, I think one law where you had to have a job, right? Mm-hmm. You had to have, as a Black person or something, you can't just be in that job. So they free you, but you better have a job, right? Mm-hmm. So guess what you're going to end up doing? Working back on that same plantation where you was born at, but you're free, though, right? And also, yeah, you had the passes. You know, you had to be certain places. You had to have a pass to be there. Which is why this kind of current era is kind of, you know, give me the heebie-jeebies a little bit. Because it's like, all right, you know, we got this, you know, so-called, you know, pandemic. And I've heard people toss around things like a federal job promise, or federal jobs. Mm-hmm. I'm like, hold on, bro. Let's think about this for a minute.
Right. Let's think about what that actually means. Like, people don't get the depth of, because of the way they sell us stuff and they wrap it up all beautifully, I don't think people get the depth of the direction these things could go. And even if you look at a historical perspective, right? Even if you look at a worldwide perspective and things like that, I think that a lot of people don't take a deep dive into what some of these things actually mean.
Exactly. I think you have a whole generation of headline watchers. You know, just to bring back in certain legislation, we all know it's about controversial today. You know, you had a Florida pass another voting bill, I believe, right? Mm-hmm. That's where I'm currently located, is down here. And, you know, I had a family member hit me up, you know, like, yo, what's up with the what's up with y'all governor with these racist laws? I'm like, what's up? What's racist about the law? Did you read the bill, bro? Nah, you're headline watcher, right? So we got to be careful when we just headline watching and not reading.
I like that. I got to steal that headline watcher.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, and it's crazy. It's like, if you wanted to go get a fifth of Henny, I bet you you'll find an ID, right? Mm-hmm. But to vote for the dude who's going to hold on to the nuclear codes, you think it's weird to have ID, or is even racist to have ID? So it's like, we got to have, you know, we got to hold ourselves to a standard, man. We got to just not go by, you know, what's out there in the mainstream, like right, you said earlier.
Exactly.
And do a deep dive, man. Some of these bills be only 5-6 pages. People still won't read them. Now, they got these crazy bills, so they trying to confuse you, be 20, mm-hmm. 200 pages. But majority of bills under 15 pages. Go ahead and read it, man. See what's in there. See what you like and don't like. You know, do a small dive. You know, if you could take an hour to watch Black Ink, you could take some time to do something that might affect your life. You know what I'm saying? Take a deep dive every once in a while.
Right, right, absolutely. And they counting on us not knowing. They counting us on us not being educated. They're counting on us not reading. They already know it. Like, they're banking on that. They know we don't read. And when I say this, I'm not even just talking about Black people. I'm talking about Americans in general. Like, we don't read. We don't search deeper. They are actively manipulating our attention spans, right? When we get on social media, you know, everything is being shortened. The music, the videos, you know, think about reels, right? Your brain is being rewarded for trying to take in this information in 30 to 60, all this information in 30 to 60 seconds between TikTok and Instagram. That's doing something. These songs, the music, you turn on the radio, the song's getting shorter and shorter. That is doing something to our attention spans. They're actively engaging and manipulating our attention spans. It hurts us. It hurts our children. So, you know, it goes deep. And then even when you look at the history of reading as it relates specifically recently here to Black people in America, you have some of our young boys with the lowest reading scores. You have so many of our boys. I think this was particularly in California and Illinois, if I remember correctly, but very, very, I think a majority are on like a third grade reading level or something like this. But that touches every other aspect of our lives. That, based on those statistics, you know how many people are there, they base that on how many people are going to go into the prison systems. Mm-hmm. They base that on quality of life. Life, right? And then you turn to politics, you know, who's going to be reading the bills if people are generally not reading? There was a survey done, this was probably a few years ago, I covered it on my YouTube channel, where they said 80% of people get their news from the headlines. They do not read the article, or they do not read further than maybe like the first paragraph. Wow. So the news media knows this. They know this. They know they can post the article with a super catchy headline, you know, just say something super polarizing. They can put whatever propaganda they want in there, and they know people will share it like wildfire without diving deeper.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And it kind of takes me back to even what the own politician said. I think it was, who was it? Pelosi, who says you got to pass the bill to see what's in it or something like that. I was like, hold on. Are you telling
me? Man, do you know how many people? I was just in D.C. a couple of weeks ago, and I got a chance to, you know, kind of meet some people out there and networking and stuff like that. And do you know, like they actually don't even read the bills. Like, a lot of them is very known. I don't even understand how we've accepted that as a culture. It's like nauseating and infuriating to me that they will have these, particularly these omnibus bills that could be like hundreds, thousands of pages, and they'll introduce it and be like, all right, 3-4 days we're voting on this, right? Mm-hmm. Knowing these people haven't read this stuff.
No. Yep. And if they did, they had maybe had an intern skimming and summarizing.
Exactly. And they have somebody brief them on it before they come in and vote for the bill. Why are we even putting all that? Because some people will say, oh, they have so much to do, or or they da-da-da-da. No, like, this is your job. We shouldn't be putting so much on politicians where you don't even know what you're passing. That's a ridiculous standard. Ridiculous.
Ridiculous. I agree. And going back to just the general public and educating ourselves, right? I know they had a little controversial thing, you know, right now you're doing a lot of things where they're tearing down different statues, trying to rename, you know, Confederate named statues and schools and things like that. So we got a high school down here, Robert E. Lee, in Jacksonville. And I want to say that they recently had a thing to change the name of high school, big controversy. They had a vote, all the alumni come. Now you got thousands of people, right, coming out here to vote to change the name of this high school. That's all well and good. That's cool. Whatever. Right. This high school ranks 3 out of 10. Over half the school fails in state reading exams. I want to say 60-some percent fail in math exams in terms of state standard. But you just had thousands of people show up to rename the high school. Are y'all at the PTA meeting? You know, are y'all at these school boards pushing? Are y'all out here recommending that y'all get more teachers in here to lower the student to teacher ratio? So maybe you could teach these kids how to read. You can name that sucker after anybody you want. Martin Luther King High School. If you can't read, it don't matter. So that was very telling to me. And it just got to, we just got to get off the headline watching in the empty symbolism,
Right. That's what's really messing us up. And that's what I've been talking about a lot recently. I don't care. I don't give a crap because Elizabeth Warren has BLM blocks in the back of her freaking video. Like, I still can't even believe that went viral. It just shows you the mindset of people, man. Like, we are so enthralled and appeased by symbolism. Like, you know, at some point we got to stop blaming them for how they treat us if that's all you require. You know, I think about it like we can relate this to abusive relationship, or it don't even have to be an abusive relationship. We can relate it to an elf boy, right? Mm-hmm. You keep creating this standard that all he got to do is come Netflix and chill with you. All he got to do is buy you a pizza and he can get the goods. what standards are you creating? You know what I mean? And people will be like, oh, well, you know, he should just be like that. You can't reward bad behavior. Mm-hmm. Continuously reward bad behavior. Reward bad behavior for decades. And then act dumbfounded when you continue to get the same exact thing that you've been getting. You reward symbolism, you will get more symbolism. You will get whatever you reward. That's normal human behavior. Normal human behavior. You can use that experiment with children or anything else, just psychology, right? Like trying to even manipulate people's behavior. And when I say manipulate, I'm not even talking about in a nefarious way, right? But even in a relationship, they'll tell you that in relationship books, or relationship gurus will tell you that in a marriage. They'll say, if you want to get more out of your partner, don't focus on the things they don't do. Focus on the things they do or how they're helpful. So for example, like, you know, your husband always forgets to take the trash out, and then it's time he finally takes the trash out. You know, you don't berate him. You say, hey, you know, I love when you take that trash out for me. It's so helpful. You know, it helps lighten my day, helps lighten my load, and it just makes me feel so good that you're listening to my needs, right? Reward that good behavior. You see more of it.
Mm-hmm. And you shouldn't also get no kudos for doing things you are supposed to do. You know,
exactly. That's another part of it.
Yeah, I hate that. That's like the pet peeve of mine. And I remember I got like an apartment, and it's like my fifth apartment I ever had. You know what I'm saying? I had people like, congratulations on your new apartment. It's an apartment, dog. Like, don't think grown man. Don't think. But yeah, that's sidebar. But let's go ahead to the next topic here. And we got a lot of gun control legislation being pushed by the Biden admin. I think they just released that. What was it? That executive order. And also, it's kind of crazy. I think he said like no amendment to the Constitution is absolute or something like that. Which is like, whoa. That's a bold, statement. You know, I think that's the purpose of the amendments. I don't think people realize that the purpose of the Bill of Rights and things like that is not to like protect you from a fellow citizen, right? Mm-hmm. That's mainly about protecting you from a tyrannical government. So when you have that same government saying that, hey, we might chop this up. We might not. I don't know what we're going to do with it, you know, but it's not absolute. You have to pause for a minute. Right. And I know we got a couple of bills, I believe, in the Senate or the House, gun control.
Yep, in both.
Mm-hmm. And so my question to you is, you think any of those bills will actually make it through? And what do you think about these legislation being pushed by this Biden admin and his comment on that joint?
I think it's possible. I think that you have a Democratic Party that is, controlling Congress. And we've seen that notoriously, the way things usually sway, those are the group of people that push the most gun control. So I do think it's possible. And that's going to affect Black people very negatively. So I'm really, really hoping that you will have people that will get on board, let their senators know, let the people around them know that we are also gun owners. Not only are we gun owners, we are the fastest growing group of gun owners. Word. Black women are the fastest growing group of gun owners. And just imagine, right, out of the history in America, after what we've seen during the George Floyd protests, after what we've seen with the COVID lockdowns, after we've seen crime rate skyrocket as a result of the lockdowns and so many Americans being out of work, and seeing a booming increase of new Black gun owners, and you have a administration that not only says that they're going to now turn most of these people into criminals overnight, not because they are violent people. You don't have to be violent. It could literally be you owning an accessory to your firearm, having a certain magazine capacity that they feel like it's too much, right?
Right.
Now they're trying to push it where, you know, it's eventually going to be, they really want a federal backgrounds and registration. That's really the direction that they're going. And I just don't believe in it. I don't believe in pushing more peaceful people into jails for tax revenue, turning peaceful people into criminals. This is like preemptive policing. It's like this is absolutely no different from, you know, the little experiments that they used to do where they'll leave a truck unlocked in inner city, and they'll put like
a car. Yeah.
Then they'll put all these Jordans or these Nikes in there. And it's like, this person hasn't done anything, but I'm going to create a crime. Right. I'm going to throw something out here and I'm going to bait them to now create this crime. It's the same exact thing. You have peaceful people, but now because I own, you know, a pistol brace or my magazine capacity is higher than 10 or 12 rounds, now all of a sudden I'm a criminal.
Mm-hmm. That makes zero sense. But what do you expect? You got a administration which has been historically pro lockup, pro police, right? Pro criminal justice system, right? Setting records. I want to say your vice president talked about locking up single mothers for their kids being truant. You know, mm-hmm. that was one of the ideas that was tossed out. And I don't think people realize what you said when you hit on the, you know, federal, they want federal registration, you know. Decentralization is should be everybody's best friend. That should be right. Everybody's favorite word. You are much more able to affect things when it's, you know, isolated to your county, isolated right. to your city, isolated to even your state.
Exactly.
When things get as big as the Fed, you have no recourse. There is nothing right. you can do, right? And as a you know, people who actually use firearms, knowledgeable firearms, the magazine capacity thing got to be the dumbest argument I've ever heard.
Right. I've been seeing so many videos online of you got 3 and 4 people running up in people's houses. How you gonna tell me? How you gonna tell me how much ammo I need? It's no way to detect that. You exactly. don't know.
Exactly.
We don't know.
And you're not Jack Reacher. You're not, you know, John Wick, right?
Right.
The average person, if you're shooting at a moving target, you're probably going to miss.
Right.
Particularly if you're an amateur, you know, an amateur marksman or somebody who's just getting into gun safety, or even once that adrenaline hits you.
Right.
You're not That's- just nailing a target. You know, it's not happening.
So we definitely want people to train where they are, you know, like up to par to the best of their absolute ability, right? However, there are so many variables. People think that shootouts in real life are like the freaking movies. Like even my dad to this day, and I'm working on it. I'm working on them. God, you know, just pray for me. But even him, he thinks like these shootouts are like a Lone Ranger movie. Like why didn't he just shoot the gun out of his hand? I'm like,
shoot the leg.
I'm like, come on, man. Come on. This is not a movie. This is not. You have so many factors, literally, mm-hmm. from the way the wind is blowing to the, you know, how fast the target is moving, to the position that you're in, depending on are you in a car? Are you standing? Are you behind cover? Like, it's just so much that goes into it. And people just try to make it seem like it's some type of movie.
Yes, way too much. That's why I say that capacity thing is a joke. If somebody, if a bunch of people breaking in your home, you need to lay them all out. You do not have time to be trying to reload. Okay. And their biggest thing is what they try to bring out, you know, mass shootings and things like that. When in reality, far more shootings are done with handguns. You know,
right.
The vast right. majority of murders occur with handguns. It's right. not rifles, you know, and just for them to target that, it's almost like an agenda. It's like, why are you
right. Absolutely.
focusing Absolutely. On AR and AR-15? And there's so many different type of rifles, right? But right. you just want to focus on one brand of rifles. It's
right.
mind-blowing.
It's all on purpose. And that's why I'm like, we should not concede. We should not, because it's a small buildup over time. It's so obvious. Even you just making a statement that, in fact, handguns are the cause or used in most crimes. Yet you come after this because, you know, you have people that concede. It'll be easier. Some people be like, oh, well, maybe we don't need. And that's where it all starts, and they'll never stop. They will never stop.
It's like the boiling frog analogy, right? They say you start mm-hmm. off with the warm water, lukewarm water, start turning up gradually. Before you know mm-hmm. it, that frog boiling, right? Mm-hmm. They don't do things in one grab. They don't do, because that would alarm people if you would shock their life like that. No, you gradually change things.
Right.
You incrementally do things, and people need to recognize that. That's why you got to shut it down and throw in the dough. Even like with various crimes, like you went to domestic abuse earlier. A dude just don't come into a relationship beating your ass. You know, it's going to be, hey, baby.
Right,
you know,
it's a gradual thing.
Oh, now he yelling a little bit. Oh, now he grabbing me a little bit. Now he hit, you know what I mean? So you need to nip stuff in the bud when you recognize the signs and the symptoms. And that's what we kind of do need to do in the Second Amendment. You know, community, the pro firearm community is nipping in the bud. Like, no, this needs to not happen. This legislation needs to not happen. Okay. And that's it. Shut it down. And that's why we need to support people like you, support people like Maj Teray, Coleon Noir and people like that who are pushing for things like that.
Right.
So on to the next joint. Talking about urban environments, right? Like I said, I'm from Chicago. You talked about your road rage incident. So how, you know, how you think actually relaxing gun control laws, like eliminating some of these control laws, how do you think that would actually help urban environments?
I'm always for repealing laws. Like, I do not think it's no reason young Black men should be going to jail for possession. Never. It should not happen. We have to talk and be real about the culture. You do have some young Black men in these environments that are not bad people, but as a reflection of the culture, they're like, I know what's going on out in these streets. I'm not in the streets, but I gotta still protect myself. And it's crazy because even Tupac talked about this years ago. Like the same people that the police officers have all this riot gear for. He was like, who you think that's for? And just because I'm Black don't mean I'm a part of a criminal element. Like, okay, that is not what that means. So I want to protect myself too. You know what I mean? So we have to have these conversations. Even if you look at the crime rate, they'll try to do these BS statistics. Oh, 13% of the population is committing all the crime. No, out of the 13% of Black people, you have a very small, I believe it's 1%, maybe even less. I think it's actually less of a small recidivist. Mm-hmm. Recidivist criminal element. These are people that are perpetually committing crimes. Now, whether that's a failure in a system, you know, cultural things, those are things that we should address as well. However, if we are able to arm good people that only want to protect themselves, these are productive citizens, people that love their families, love their communities, only want the best for their families and communities. If we, you know, show people that you can protect yourself, you will be less. Most criminals and most crimes are crimes of opportunity, right?
Right.
If you ever watch like these like dumbest criminals and, you know, all this kind of stuff. Oftentimes, whether it's at a gas station, whether it's in like a dark parking lot, they're going to look for certain factors, right? That'll tell them this is going to be an easy hit. I can get in and get out. Things they typically look for are people in their phone, right? Not paying attention, no situational awareness, doesn't walk with authority, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
Kind of acting like you just lost, not paying attention into this space. Sometimes it could be physical characteristics, right? They may look for somebody smaller, more petite, looks more fragile, and things like this. These are mostly crimes of opportunity. But if that person knows that the people in his neighborhood are more likely to be armed, are more likely to stand up for themselves, are more likely to defend themselves, you will start to see crime decrease because of that. Most people not trying to die today. They're not. No criminal thinks, bruh, like, I'm trying to die today, but I'm still going to commit this crime anyway. No, it's they honestly believe this person is unassuming. I can get in and get out. I can get the cash. I can get their phone. I can make it quick and I'm on my way home. That's okay. Usually how it is, right? It's not very sophisticated. And so if you, particularly as a woman, can have, you know, greater or equal force and only to be used in the event that your life is in immediate danger there's an imminent threat, that changes the trajectory of the situation. It changes the trajectory of the safety of the community.
Exactly. And hitting back on what you said earlier, illegal possession shouldn't even be a freaking crime. What is that?
you're guaranteed. If you serve your time and you're not in there for no crazy, you know, crime where you super violent or anything, half of the people who go to prison or jail are in there for drug crimes. So you go in there for a drug crime, you get out, you're still in that same bad neighborhood. You're a felon now. You're a felon now, so you can't get a good job, right? And you need to protect yourself, right? You need to protect your family. You're not allowed to do that because you got caught with a couple of grams of
right. It's a setup.
It's a setup. And that's the trap of probation as well. A lot of times when people commit their first, you know, nonviolent offense, they'll throw 5 years probation at you and let you go, right? People think that is a great thing, right? Like, oh, I'm going to the crib. I do this 5 years probation. Don't realize that probation means you're a slave in so many ways. They can pull you over anytime they want. You no longer have the right to deny, you know, search. They can search you whenever they want. They can search your property whenever they want. And they're going to target you because they want to get you. They want to put you into this system, you know? And also, like you said, crimes of opportunity makes perfect sense. I remember back in the day, I was working at like Target or something like that. I had to get up early, go to the bus stop, you know, didn't have a car at the time. And, you know, I'm a street savvy dude. I'm from the streets. I did my little 1 and 2. I ain't gonna get into details about my past or whatever, but I could tell the telltale signs of when something's about to go down. Right. And this when we had the Nokias, you know, those little one phones and all this other stuff. So I'm like, all right. So I'm walking to the bus stop and I see a dude kind of trailing me, but he's on the other side of the street, you know, in all black, the hoodie. I say, oh, okay. I see what this is. So, you know, I whip out the little Nokia. Yeah, man. Woo, woo, woo. Yeah. Then I, you know, I got all these guns I got to get rid of, man. I'm burning these packs. You know what I'm saying? Then let me tell you, this MF over here, Blase, I'm, you know what I mean? And I'm throwing out all the roughest, toughest talk I can talk. I ain't even on the phone. You know what I'm saying? And I seen the dude trail off. You know, and that's one thing, you need to be cognizant of your surroundings. I try to teach my daughters, I try to teach family members. When you got your head in this phone walking down the street, it's probably the worst thing you can do. You're unassuming. You're not paying no attention to what's going on. In addition to getting robbed or being a target of somebody, you might get hit. Somebody jump the curb in a car. You're not paying no attention. Anything. Get your face out the phone for a minute, man. You'll be all right. You know, get to where you're getting. And then you can relax and chill once you're in your safe space.
Let me tell you, this is the crazy part about it. What I really love about training is because it really opens up your mind to human nature. And it really opens up your mind to being more independent, more self-sufficient. It goes way beyond a firearm, way beyond a firearm. This is why I stress it so much. Even me now, right? Learning as I am, it'll be moments where I will see people doing stuff and I'm like, wow, like you have no idea. You have no idea. I was leaving this storage room where I have some stuff. This was like maybe like 2 weeks ago, and the place is kind of like it's one of those indoor air conditioned type things, but it's still kind of like a little creepy. You know, some areas the lights are kind of dim and stuff like that. So of course I'm always armed when I'm in there, because you just never know. You got all these different directions. Somebody could like walk and sneak up on you or whatever the case may be. And one day I was walking out. I had finished handling my business and I'm walking out, and it was this guy walking towards me. He has on a mask and he's just all in his phone, so much so that he's about to run into me, and I never moved because I honestly wanted to see how close he would get to me before even recognizing that I was even there. This is a grown man. Like, you could have straight up, like you just can't be out here slipping like that, especially not as a man. And it brings back these memories of me and one of my training classes where we do these scenario training, right?
Right.
and we'll pretend that we're walking through a parking lot late at night or something like that. We're trying to get to our car and another person is coming through and they're getting ready to like victimize us. And so this particular day, I was helping with the scenario. So me and another guy were criminals. And we were running the scenario on this lady. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things you learn in scenario training is always look for a plus two. Always look for a plus two, because a lot of criminals, the ones that like plan things ahead of time and stuff like that, it'll usually be two or more people. Right. And so oftentimes they'll use a first person as a distraction and then a second person will come in for the attack. So as I'm walking out of the storage room, this memory came back of this scenario that I was doing where he was distracting the lady during the scenario and I was just creeping on her. And even though this was this whole scenario probably literally only took 60 seconds, me acting as the criminal in my head as I'm inching on this woman, right, and she has her back turned because she's paying attention to this criminal that's distracting her, I just kept thinking like, bruh, like this probably feels like it's happening so fast for her because her adrenaline is rushing, but I'm the criminal, I'm two steps ahead because a criminal is always two steps ahead, right? They know who they're getting ready to victimize. And she has no idea. And I'm just slowly creeping up on her. And I feel so bad about it because I'm like, she has no clue. And my point is, so many people are moving like that through life. They have no clue how badly you can be victimized because you just simply don't have situational awareness. You're not paying attention. You unfortunately have been led to believe by the TV, by social media, by the unicorns in the sky, that the world is just all bubbly and rainbows. It's not. And so not only by protecting ourselves do we make our community safer, but we also lessen the interactions with police officers. It's a win for everybody. Getting trained, making sure that our responsible citizens that love their families, love their communities, want to see safer communities are not only firearms owners, but trained will be such a huge positive impact.
Exactly. I could not agree more. And I'll just only thing I would add to that, because we always harping on the women, the men as well. I want, like, you need to be pay attention to who you're bringing back to your home. I know you like these people like to swipe right on Tinder or whatever they're doing and things like that. Y'all hold her and taking girls home from the club, think you got lucky and all this other stuff. You might be getting set up for the okie dokie. You heard where Cardi B was talking about drugging people and like that happens a ton. Okay. So stop, you know, trusting everything. Stop thinking everything is just a sweet lick for you that is about to be all good. Because it is just as many women out here setting these dudes up. Man, I heard a story the other day about a dude getting tied up and robbed and all types of crazy stuff. Like, be careful, particularly with this online dating and all these things like that. Right. You need to be careful out here, too. You know, you can't move like that. I know a lot of people think they're Superman and all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. When four dudes run up in your house because she done let them in the back door, ain't no coming back from that. So
right. And a crazy part about it is, even before I was a firearms owner and started learning all the things that I was learning, it was always something about guys that did not know me that would invite me to their home the very first time we met. Automatic turnoff. Right. Like, even before I fully understood the depths of the potential wrong with that, I already knew that, like, you don't care about your life because you don't know me. Your home is your domain. Your home is your altar, your worship center, your family environment. You don't just invite. And don't get me wrong, I'm a good person. You know, I don't bother nobody. I don't mess with anybody. But it's the lack of awareness. It's the lack of care. I mean, it's just such a turnoff, especially for men. Exactly. It's no kind of standard. Like, you just can't let people in your home. Even if you think a woman is physically weaker, you don't know this woman. You don't know if this woman is a firearm owner. You don't know who, you know, how and if she's trying to put the drop on you. You just don't know.
Exactly. And shoot, even you sitting there. Now, you invite me back to your home off the rip. How many other people know where your house is at? Mm-hmm. Like I said, don't make me want to go there.
Right. Exactly.
So, all right. So let's hit on the next one. So there's been an uptick. I think you came on this a little bit earlier, too. There's been an uptick of Black women become interested in firearms and self-protection. And, you know, why do you think that is? Do you think it's more so related to maybe the pandemic and what we've been going through? Do you think it's more so related to all the, you know, publicity about shootings and things like that? And, you know, what tips do you have, particularly for the women out here who are, you know, maybe purchasing their first firearm and need to get familiar, things like that? You know, what avenues should they go through, you know, to get better trained and more knowledgeable about their firearm?
I definitely think we're seeing an uptick in gun ownership directly because of the George Floyd protests and the COVID lockdowns. There was kind of an uptick over time. You know, it was already kind of increasing. But I think that just kind of helped it just, you know, go to a whole different level. And what I would say is for women, first-time gun owners, I would always recommend a rental gun range. So don't just go purchase something. Don't just go get this gun because your best friend or your man or your cousin or even, you know, the guy at whatever store said, you know, oh, this is a firearm that I have or you should get. You always want to practice before you buy, you know. So if you have a friend that maybe owns a large assortment of firearms and you want to go shooting with them, that may be helpful. But also a rental range allows you to go into the gun range. They have a wall or a shelf of different firearms that you can try out, right? So you can see, you know, how you like the trigger. You can see, you know, just, you know, what you like about the firearm and what you don't like. Is it too heavy? Is it too much recoil? You know, these are things that you want to know before you kind of make that final purchase. So mm-hmm. That's was one of my missteps in the beginning. And so that's, you know, information that I always offer.
For sure. And shout out to my brother Capra L down here in Jacksonville, man. He's been doing a lot of teaching. He's you know, a vet, and he's a pretty good guy. He's very, very knowledgeable when it comes to firearms, things like that. And he's been seeing an uptick because he teaches the CCW classes, things like that. And most of his classes, I want to say at least 50% of the class has been just Black women. So it's been crazy how, you know, it's been changed in terms of the demographic mm-hmm. in the 2A, you know, interest and things like that. So, you know, last thing I want to hit on, you know, any other subjects you want to hit on, like the pandemic. I know we hit on the strong family units. And that's crazy, too, because I seen something today where a young lady was bashing the nuclear family, like calling it a European construct and things like that. And I'm like, oh, my God. it's just, you know, hitting on that. I want to say, if you look at every statistic, every measure of success, right, that's mm-hmm. been increased exponentially by having a mother and a father, particularly a strong mother and father in the home. Don't believe the hype. Okay. having your mom and dad in the home is a great thing. It's great if you have extended family, too. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But the nuclear, nothing wrong with the nuclear family, you know what I mean? And also, you know, any tips you got on maybe self-reliance and things like that in light of what we're going through and what could be coming down the pipe in the fall, you know what I mean?
I'm just kind of like move off solutions type person. You know, everything, I don't like having the same conversation over and over again. I don't like talking about the same things over and over again. Mm-hmm. Every single thing that I've had a concern with, I've changed my life to help me and the people around me as relates to that, right? So,
right.
I had concerns about a lot of these young men getting caught up with like police officers. I talked earlier about how reading scores directly ties into that, right? Going into the prison system. So I work with groups of young boys as it relates to their reading. Their reading scores, their reading and things like that, mm-hmm. as it relates to trying to, you know, keep these young boys out of trouble and even telling them, like, you know, because some of these young boys are already there on these video games, so they know about guns. They shoot. Some of them might know more than I know about, like, you know, just the different types and all this kind of stuff. So they know, right? But just helping them say, hey, you can do this, but let's do it the right way to help keep you, you know, out of trouble. Let's do it where you can be a safe and responsible, legal firearms owner. You can go shoot, you know, but you got to stay on the right path. You got to keep your heads in the books and you got to get out of high school to do that, right? You know, just even now, it was this big thing a couple of years ago about, you know, Black women dying in the hospitals because, you know, medical racism and all these other things. And I'm like, look, like our ancestors was right on some stuff. Like, let's stop this whole progressive to what end? Like, why mm-hmm. do you want to change stuff that wasn't broken, right? So even this idea that we can't do, women can't do what our bodies were created to do.
Yeah.
You know? Even that idea, it's absurd. It's absurd, right? And so a lot of intervention, medical intervention, and unnecessary practices have directly led to the deaths of a lot of our sisters and to the, you know, the trauma as well during child labor. Mm. So trying to encourage women to come back home, like come back to their home where you're loved, you're cared for, you can get somebody, whether that person looks like you or even is more, you know, attentive to your concerns, to help you do that. But it's just a lot of stuff that I feel like we, you know, that's the direction I'm going with it, from wanting to protect myself, wanting to protect my family. I just overall have a very healthy skepticism of the government. And a government is also aligned to our teachers. It's aligned to our medical professionals, you know, so even homeschooling. Like, I just feel like some of these avenues, we could lessen so many unnecessary interactions. We could lessen so much unnecessary trauma. By the actions we take. I don't have the solutions. I don't have the answers to solve the world, to change the world. You know, I'm just trying to add to the quality of my life and the people around me. So we are seeing some differences in our lives because I can't control what some teacher is doing, especially mm-hmm. when we're not there with the kids. We don't know what these folks telling our kids during the day. I can't control, you know, some random police officer, but I can try to arm myself with knowledge, right? With the things that I can do to put myself in a safer position to handle a situation. I can learn the stuff that police officers learn to know what they are looking for, to know if they believe I'm a threat. So I can now do the opposite or navigate, or even I can manipulate the situation, right? Because
right.
I know more. Knowledge is power. You know, right. We can't deny that. So learning some of these life skills, learning these things that add quality to life, taking it upon ourselves to remove ourselves from some of these interactions, some of these unnecessary interactions, you know, that's where I'm at with it. That's why I'm trying to enlighten and think, also trying to push other people, you know, to get involved in that.
Exactly. I think you hit on some great things too there. Basically revolving around self-reliance. Do what you can control, right? Help what you can help, right?
Right.
Do what's best for you. I think the main three tenets you got to think about is your family, your health, you know, and your mental and spiritual well-being. And you need to take care of those three things most importantly. And one of those things is one of those things directly revolves around being able to protect yourself, which we hit on. You know, you can't always depend on somebody else. You can't depend on somebody else for your financial security. You know what I'm saying? Make sure that you take care of that. You know, that's part of taking care of your family and things like that. And I think when your male populace is not strong, you know, your tribe can't be strong.
Right.
So I want to say salute to the brother King Randall, just what purchased 40 acres to help, you know, help with his school effort and teaching these young black kids stuff, mentorship. Mm-hmm. A lot of these people get on, you know, Twitter, they get on Instagram and Facebook and put up all these posts about how we need to do for self and all this other stuff. We need to raise kings and all this. But are you in the hood talking to these kids, right? Are you out there, you know, tossing the football with them and throwing some knowledge at them while they doing that? You know, are you trying to teach them and lead them in the right direction? A lot of these old dudes are scared of the youth. Won't even talk to them. Scared. You know what I mean? So that's one thing I think that really needs to change, that men need to step up and teach these boys how to become men. You know what I mean? Step outside of your box, care about somebody outside of your community, take care of family, of course, but also be able to mentor these kids because they really need it, man. And shout out to Melanated Conscious Society, like I said earlier, trying to mentor some of these, you know, young black kids out here. And that's pretty much what I got. And I appreciate you stopping in. I ain't gonna take too much of your time. So if you got any businesses you want to plug, your social media, your any events, now's your time to shine, Queen.
Y'all, check me out. I'm on YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter. You'll find me at Rhonda Mary, or I am Rhonda Mary. So definitely make sure, you know, to give me a subscribe on YouTube. And yeah. I'm there.
All right. Well, I appreciate you. And on behalf of everybody here at the Harsh Reality Podcast, I got to say peace.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming.